An interview with Lee Marical. Lee Marical was born in 1950 in North Vancouver, where she grew up as the daughter of a Métis woman from Lac La Biche in Alberta and a father from Saskatchewan. In 1975, the Liberation Support Movement in Vancouver published her autobiography, Bobby Lee, Indian Rebel, Struggles of a Native Canadian Woman. The book is based on extensive taped interviews. It was published this year by Women's Press in Toronto. In 1988, her second book, I Am Woman, was published by Write On Press in Vancouver. And this year saw the publication of at least three books by and with her. Seeds, published by Write On Press, Sojourner and Other Stories by Press Gang, both in Vancouver, and together with Daphne Marlatt and Betsy Warland and Sky Lee, she published Telling It, Building Language Across Cultures, also published by Press Gang in Vancouver. She has edited Rita Joe's Songs of Eskasoni in 1988, and she has been very active in supporting and developing Native writing in Canada. She has made presentations at various conferences and has spoken out against the misuses of Native authors and Native stories by non-Natives. She has published reviews and short stories, poetry in various magazines. She now teaches and studies at Anaukin School of International Writing in Penticton, British Columbia. Maybe you say something so we can check.
Yeah, let's see if we're taping here this morning.
Okay,
good morning.
I think I'll put this on here so it doesn't vibrate that much.
Maybe you should start with your questions there.
Yeah, well, I can tell you the questions that I noted some of them down of what I wanted to perhaps go over. One is some things about...
How long do you expect this to
do? A half hour or so.
You can stay. Well, you've got other things to do, otherwise, why don't you join us?
I don't care when you do it. Does that make it plain? Okay.
One question that I still have about the first book is in the English or English language introduction, it says that it's based on recorded on tape recordings, and another time I think we talked and you said no, you wrote it, and I was just
no.
No. So how was that put together?
It was part of a course I was taking on how to do life histories.
Oh,
we each did each other's.
Oh, I
did my partner's, he did mine.
Mm-hmm.
And because the oral was, I helped transcribe them.
Mm-hmm.
And the oral was, the presentation was quite good, so they decided to publish it.
Yeah.
Is
that most of it verbatim?
Well, not really.
Mm-hmm.
They had to shrink it down for brevity. There was 80 hours of tapes.
Ooh.
To that story. And I think, maybe an hour is about 10 pages, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's really long.
Yeah, it's quite long. It's about 3 inches of manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
In the taping, I had the same problems with, or they had actually had the mm-hmm. same problems with hearing my voice as you had when you first interviewed me. So some of it is pretty mixed up, mm-hmm. and I decided not to change the original text because even though things are you know, the events didn't actually happen the way that they're said in the book. Mm-hmm. The events happened.
Yeah.
And so I left it the way it was. I was going to redo the whole thing and more in the voice that I actually spoke it in. There were moments of almost poetry in the spoken version, in the transcription. But it would have made for what they call uneven narrative in English.
Mm-hmm.
So the editors made the decision to make it all even throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very even.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning to write a novel and it's not going to be an even
mm-hmm.
voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because here the speakers don't, or they try not to use their own voice. They try to let the voice reflect the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different mm-hmm. way of speaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes across as something that is, you said even, but it's round in itself, and if you say it wasn't always the same chronology as events happen, but it's like flashbacks, so
it's not
I reread
chronology.
It.
The chronology is there,
it.
But sometimes Ed's doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing what Ed's doing, or,
oh,
you know.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's very, I reread it, and it's really a very straight and very readable
mm-hmm.
narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I decided to leave it that way. We're cashing this? Oh, okay.
I don't have a checklist right now.
Can come back.
Monday.
Someday.
Monday. We're filling out.
Yeah, I know we are, but I don't want to give everybody 50 cents either.
I'm woman, and when we were on the phone the other day, you said it comes from the oral tradition, and I thought I'd like to tell you what how I saw that, and then maybe get your mm-hmm. reaction to that.
Sure.
If you look at the book as a whole, and it has poetry, it has history, it has personal narrative, it has various sort of aspects.
Mm-hmm.
If I use Western categories, it sort of transcends genre,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of minority writing and women writing do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I had in mind when I read your book and where I saw a parallel immediately, I remember reading it in Penticton, was Gloria Anzaldúa's Borderlands, La Frontera, where she consistently sort of deliberately transcends the borders and moves from one mode of narrative, from one genre to the other, and it reflects her own sort of what Isenhagen called liminality, what a lot of minority people, especially of mixed ancestry, have that they share in various traditions, and refuse to sort of be marginalized or put in their place in inverted commas and say you belong here or you belong there, and say they, like she says, she straddles the border, and from there has access to various cultures, and I thought that I Am Woman, well, reflects that process, and I didn't see it then as coming from the oral tradition at all, but then when I hear you perform and witness that, I realize how important performance is for you. So those are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the big house, you're standing in the middle of the room. And if you're going to talk for a long time, which usually happens, you better be interesting. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, for us, words and meaning are more important than structure.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, the voice you use mm-hmm. should reflect the subject. Certain things can't be said outside of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things aren't funny.
That's true.
And there's a whole set of... Well, in English they have a word called syntax for the way things are framed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the sentence, yeah.
Yes, for us syntax is even bigger than just in the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our life,
mm-hmm.
in our conduct. If you can kind of equate syntax to conduct and mm-hmm. being,
mm-hmm.
there is a syntax in the book
mm-hmm.
that's very, very different from English. The other thing is that the beauty of the language has to come out. And all of our speakers that speak English, I don't know if you've read any of Pauline Johnson's translations of old stories.
Yeah.
I saw my first copy the other day, actually. Mm-hmm. I never did read her work until just, at least not the stories, but the voice of Capilano is
mm-hmm.
what I remember most distinctly, and she was true to his voice, the beautiful language that he used in English.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to do it that way to show that our great-grandmothers and our grandfathers, and great-grandfathers really, did speak English very well
mm-hmm.
in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That residential school robbed them of both languages.
Mm-hmm.
Those who didn't go to residential school had no problem learning English or speaking English, but we do speak it differently. And I tried to capture that essence throughout the book. And the last thing is that it's a presentation of theory and high philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is best done through story and poetry. So it moves in and out of story and poetry constantly.
Yeah.
I think in English, the so-called theoreticians and philosophers hit themselves that they don't have story in their presentations, but they do try to take the passion and the spirit and the life
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
out of the story, and then they call it an example.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's all just story, and
mm-hmm.
the more interesting and entertaining it is, the better. So I did a whole bunch of things with I Am Woman. I tried to... But I wasn't concerned with English genre. I don't
mm-hmm.
even know what the word means.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had never...
Well, it's just a category that I have in my mind and that I operate on.
Yeah, yeah. I want to explain
I'm
this.
I'm not saying it's the adequate...
No, please, let me explain this,
sorry,
okay?
Yeah.
There's a point I'm making here. Before I did I Am Woman, I hadn't taken any English literary courses. I have since, because I want to do a novel. So I have studied some English literature. So I had no idea beyond meanings of words and thinking and being about how a book is structured. And actually, it does create some problems with the book because some people think it's a novel or an attempt at a novel. Some people think it's a collection or some sort of anthological presentation. Some people don't know what to think about it. Some people think it's an uneven voice or faltering narrative or just
mm-hmm.
a number of things. But in fact, it isn't either of those things. It's theory coming through story
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Colonization and decolonization,
yeah.
Very, very simply.
Yeah. If you, since you talked about that, if you try to sort of explain where the various thoughts, the theories, the experiences that you have and that you express in there, where they come from. You said it as one source the Great House,
mm-hmm.
and of course your background, you mentioned Emily Pauline Johnson, so there's a regional aspect if you think of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
In Indian Rebel, there's quite a bit of Western or European theory
mm-hmm.
too, political theory,
mm-hmm.
and I coming from theoretically a similar background, Marxist and so on. I, for years and years, I have had problems with my Marxist convictions since I've worked with Native people and learned from Native people, because that perception of reality very often is just too one-dimensional. At least that's what I experienced. How do you, how important is sort of Western political theory in your thinking and in your expression? I mean, decolonization is partly, a lot of it and the most important parts are written by people who are decolonizing themselves. Mm-hmm. However, some of them still also refer to European thinking. How do you see that connection?
Wow, I'm really glad that you asked that, actually, because I had spent such a long time trying to come to grips with the essential disagreement between myself and all of the European mm-hmm. philosophers that I read, including Marx, that there's something about all of them that they all hold in common that I don't care for. I think it's on the relationship between thinking and being, or thinking, mm-hmm. or what the concept of thinking that Europeans have, and that's the objectification mm-hmm. of thought. For us, thinking is a complete and total process. Mm-hmm. You harness in the sweat or in the big house or wherever around a pipe, you harness all your energy, physical, spiritual, emotional, and intellectual, and you retreat into solitude to work out the nature of your particular solidarity with creation. Mm-hmm. And you retreat into lineage as well, because the farther backward in time grandmothers you have, the farther forward mm-hmm. grandchildren. You actually represent an infinite number of people, and it's their only physical manifestation is yourself. Mm-hmm. Also, you own your own house, and that's all you own,
yeah.
is this
yeah.
house that I live in. The I that lives in here is the thinking I, the being I, the I that understands creation, understands the object of life is solidarity, understands that there are consequences for every action. In European thought, beginning with such men as John Stuart Mill, who's probably the most famous, there was others that came before him, but he's probably the most famous or infamous, depending on your humor, is to become dispassionate,
mm-hmm.
to drown the passions, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, wine does that, maybe it's because they're wine drinkers, heavy wine drinkers, I don't know. And then calculate. And it's what it is, adding and subtracting, multiplying and dividing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all done very mathematically. And I think the Industrial Revolution, I'm not sure which came first, the calculating or the Industrial Revolution, but they work well together.
Yes.
Everything's debit and credit balance and
sure.
reconciliation of that sort. That's not how things are for us. I think Seattle says it best, and he's one of our ancestral intellectuals, that we don't spin the web of life, but we're responsible
mm-hmm.
for its continuum. And that's the basis of thinking for us.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a story, an origin story, that here on the West Coast, that I prefer of all the stories, of course, because you know, this is where I grew up, and that's that everything was thought
mm-hmm.
at one time, and then because we kept tripping over each other, or whatever the case is, we were transformed into physical being,
mm-hmm.
along with stone and
mm-hmm.
flora and fauna and all the rest. And then consequences came into being and thought. took on some significance,
mm-hmm.
lineage significance, personal significance. With Marx agrees with John Stuart Mill on that. All the current sociologists and theorists agree that thought is a mental activity, a head mm-hmm. activity. We don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I think there are more and more people in Europe. Now, I think maybe I use the term European different from you. I don't know. I think you used that in what I read in telling it. Sometimes when you say European, I as a European object to it because you're talking about European-derived Canadians. And I feel, being from Europe, being in Canada now, the differences between European Canadians and Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say European now, I really mean people over in Europe. But I think the same probably happens here. But
more and more people. Is a cat in Egypt a cat?
A what?
Is a cat in Egypt a cat?
Sure.
A European here is a European.
It's just it has to do with a lot of feelings and reactions that change
yeah.
over time and separation.
I
didn't really want to get into that. What I wanted to say is that in Europe, I think more and more people, and also in academia, although we are still a minority, try to think in different ways and act in different ways that are less linear, maybe less sectoralized and less alienated, and try to... We realize that the straight thinking and the linear thinking is on the road towards death, right? And there are various theories when this started, but the... we have to come to think in holistic, or I don't really like that term very much, but in a much more complex way, that takes into consideration all our actions and all our thinking, all the generations, the coming and the past, and all the beings around us. I don't know much about system theory, but apparently there are theories where you say if you take one part out of the whole thing sort of reshuffles and changes, and you can't just change one thing without affecting so many other things. So there are, and I'll leave you with something that we did along those lines with regard to literature, but I think that more and more people in Europe and in other countries are realizing this, and we are very grateful for a lot of help that we've got in the last years from Native people, helping us to rethink and also to decolonize our minds.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are trying to think differently here too. I don't think that's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I shouldn't.
I believe this,
mm-hmm.
and I am familiar with European writers and
mm-hmm.
and thinkers. What European influence I have in my life is from reading Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to read Europeans. Over North Americans. I think there's an inherent lie in everything that comes out of North America that doesn't exist in Europe. The lie of the colonization process.
The denial of colonization, the displacement.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So when I say Europeans, I also mean
mm-hmm.
those in Europe. And I think it does center on feeling and the spirit, and coming to grips. I have noticed that the struggle to come